Looking at our world from a theological perspective. This is the Theology Central Podcast, making theology central.
Good morning, everyone. It is Saturday, October the 23rd, 2021. It is currently 9:49 a.m. Central Time, and I'm coming to you live from the empty sanctuary of Victory Baptist Church, located right here in the middle of nowhere, Texas. Thank you so much for tuning in. I always appreciate it. If you're listening live, feel free to say good morning, hello, say whatever you would like to say. Let me know that you're out there. If you have any thoughts or comments on this subject, please obviously share those. If you have any questions, you can share those as well. And of course, if you don't want to say anything in the live chat, please email me, newsif@yahoo.com, newsif@yahoo.com. Now, I think I have a very, very important subject for us this morning. I hope it sparks lots of conversation. Even if it doesn't spark the conversation, I hope it sparks a lot of thinking inside of you. I hope it really, maybe you'll take this, even if you don't have a conversation with me, maybe you'll have a conversation with other people you know, especially people who go to church. And obviously, this is going to be a topic that should be important and interesting for anyone who professes to be a Christian, involved within Christianity, who goes to church or involved in church, because I think we're going to deal with something very, very important. Now, when it comes to churches, within Christianity, there's a tendency to say things like this, right? If the church is growing, right? If more people are coming to the church and the church is growing, people will say, God is really moving. The Spirit is really moving. God is really blessing the church. If you've ever been around a group of pastors and they start talking about the church, so how are things going at your church? Well, God is really moving. Our attendance is up by, 25%. We've had, four or five families, join in the last week. God is really moving. God is really blessing. The Holy Spirit is really moving. And we always say, God is blessing. God is moving. The Holy Spirit is moving. God is blessing. We always say that when the ministry is growing numerically, when more money is coming in, then it's always God is moving. God is doing something wonderful. God is doing something great. We always talk about that. Well, something, God must be doing something over there because look at how big they've gotten. Look at they're building a new building. Look how many people they have. And I know that some of you will say, no, I don't say that, but there is a tendency. I need to take a drink of water really quick. That was irritating. There is a tendency that even though maybe theologically, maybe we will claim, I would not say that. Even though we would tell ourselves that we have a theological position that would argue against that idea, the reality is there's just something that's in us that when everything is going well, right? The church is growing, more and more people are showing up, more money's being given. There's just something built into us to say, God is moving, God is blessing, everything's going great, this is wonderful. But here is the question I have for you. Here is the question. Is it possible that what you are seeing is not God moving, that you're not witnessing the power of God? You are simply witnessing the results of man's ingenuity. I want you to really, really, really think about that. Are you really witnessing the power of God or man's ingenuity? I really want you to ask yourself that question. And how can you tell the difference? Because I've seen it my whole Christian life. When the sanctuary is packed, God is moving. God is doing something. God is blessing. When the sanctuary is basically empty, we start either trying to come up with excuse, we try to have some explanation, but the initial reaction is always when growth is happening, when the place is packed, when the money is coming in and you've got a surplus in the budget and people are, everything's going great, then God is moving. It's the power of God on display. But when it all falls apart, we try to make excuses. We don't really know exactly what to make of that. We may try to tell us, God is doing something here as well. But I want us to really focus on the idea is it possible that a lot of that success, all of those things that we think we see that we attribute to God's power, is it simply the result of man's ingenuity? And ingenuity is defined, and I want you to listen to this, ingenuity is defined as this: the quality of being clever, original, and inventive. Is the reason some ministries are so successful has very little to do with the power of God, the blessing of God, or a move of God, and it's simply that it just demonstrates man's ingenuity. It just demonstrates that they were clever, they were original, and they were inventive, and they're on to something. Now, it may be very difficult for the person sitting in the pew, or the person listening on the internet, or the person watching on television or on YouTube or wherever the case may be, to draw the distinction between the power of God and man's ingenuity. Because a lot of times man's ingenuity is what's happening behind the scenes. It's all the planning and putting this together and putting this together. But in many cases, once you really pull back the curtain, well, you don't see the power of God, you see man's ingenuity. You don't see the power of God, you see man's ingenuity. Let me give you an example. While I was driving here, I was listening to one of the latest episodes of the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill podcast. And it just struck me as I was listening, man, that whole thing was built on man's ingenuity. That wasn't the power of God, even though so many people would have been running around when Mars Hill, in a sense, was rising. There was a lot of people saying, God is doing something. God is blessing. God is doing something. God is doing something there. I may not agree with everything, but God clearly is at work. And a lot of people would have said that based, again, off the numbers, the everything that was happening. But when you really pull back the curtain, especially if you've been listening to the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill podcast, you realize so much of everything taking place there was nothing more than a result of man's ingenuity. It may not jump out at you in this clip that I'm going to play, but it's what jumped out at me, and I wanted to at least ask these questions this morning. Let's listen to this. Hang on, let's not listen to this because I got to get the audio. Where did it go? I think, okay, here it is. I think this is it. All right, here we go.
This episode is brought to you by Church Salary. By using Church Salary's expansive church-specific compensation database and powerful salary calculator tool, you can make better compensation decisions for your staff.
Okay, didn't know they had a commercial added into it. All right, here we go.
Get started at churchsalary.com.
Here we go.
This is CT Media.
Here, I got a fun story for you.
This is Jesse Bryan, longtime creative director for Mars Hill.
Will you please tell Mike how the first time you met Tim?
Okay, now the first thing, creative director. A church has a creative director. What is that? Is that a ministry position that I'm not aware of? Hey, as a church, we need to hire someone who is a creative director. Now, I want you to just stop right here and look. If you go to a big church, look at some of the positions that people are hired for. I've seen everything from marketing to I've seen all kinds of positions. And I want you to realize that, and even if you try to give them some kind of a ministerial name, look at what some of the people in your church who are hired, who are on salary, or even if they're not on salary, they're doing something. Look at what they are doing. I will tell you that in many cases, this is nothing about biblical ministry. It's about man ingenuity. This is about creativity, being inventive, and creating a situation where the church can be successful. And that success will not be because of the power of God. It will be because of your creative director and their ingenuity. That is what I want you to focus on as you listen to this clip.
So we're in one of the hotels at some big conference, right? And I think it was a Desiring God conference because I was going. I remember I was having drinks with like Barnabas Piper and actually John Piper was there in the bar but not drinking.
This is Mike Anderson. This would have been sometime around 2008, and he would have been about 23. and he'd just taken over at the helm of the Resurgence, Mars Hill's resourcing ministry, which at the time was a barely used blog and website.
And take the escalator downstairs, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Tim Keller, right? Like, and like, for me, this is like superhero, or like, you know, like seeing your football, you know, one of your favorite football players. And I, you know, I introduce myself, I reach out, and he's a huge guy. I had no idea.
Now just stop right here. So again, you get the idea that this is the kind of thing that goes on within a large section of Christianity. You've got these celebrity heroes. You know, it's like meeting your favorite football player. But that's what happens within Christianity. You get these celebrities. Now, again, let me make it very clear what leads to the celebrity. Everyone wants to condemn the celebrity pastor culture today. But what drives me crazy, everybody wants to condemn the celebrity culture, but no one wants to address the thing that gives rise to the celebrity culture. And one of the things that gives rise to the celebrity culture is holding these conferences where people pay $50, $100, $200, $300 to get inside a conference to watch someone open a Bible and preach. So what's the product? Is the product the preaching of God's word? Are we selling the preaching of God's word, or are we selling celebrity, right? If someone is so popular that the people will pay $100, $200, $300 to get inside to hear them preach, I will argue in some ways, yes, on one way, the product that you're selling is the preaching of God's word, which is completely evil and wrong and blasphemous, in my opinion. But I think in reality, what you're selling that man's celebrity. He's marketable, and you're packing out an arena or a church, and people are paying to hear that man preach. You're selling celebrity while we sit around and then condemn celebrity culture. Now, if you're there paying money to get in to hear someone preach, you're part of the reason the celebrity culture even exists. But I digress. Let's get back to this. Again, power of God or man's ingenuity.
Idea how big he was. You know, I go to shake his hand. Hey, I'm Mike Anderson, director of the Resurgence. He takes that big hand like this, and he hits me square in the chest, like hard. And he says, son, the Resurgence will not be directed.
There you go. That's all you need to know about Tim Keller. He didn't play around. And I'll tell you what, man, Tim Keller was nothing but a nice dude. I don't know. I always really liked him.
Yeah.
Same with Piper. Right. Piper was super cool too.
There's more to this than just a funny anecdote, because it wouldn't be long before the Resurgence would be a lot more than a punchline. Mike had been brought on board with a very clear mandate for where he was supposed to take it.
I get hired, and Mark takes me to a baseball game the very first day. And he basically said, like, hey, like, our media team's good. The rest of my leadership team is junior varsity, and we're...
Okay, so got a media team. Mark Driscoll even looks at his leadership as like, okay, some of them are the junior varsity team. I need something better because we've got to take this to the next level. So this is planning. This is man's ingenuity at work. We need a marketing team. We need a creative director. We're going to take this Resurgence blog and turn it into something massive. And you look at it, just listen to all the things that they come up with and how they use it and how they work it to their own advantage, ultimately, to get their message out. This has nothing to do with the power of God. This is all man's ingenuity. And I am absolutely convinced that so much of what we see in churches has nothing to do with God. It's not the move of the Spirit. It's just the result of man's ingenuity utilizing some of the same methods, some of the same ideas, some of the same strategies that are used in business and any other endeavor in which you're trying to build a following, you're trying to get customers, whatever terminology you use. It's just using the same concepts. But once the success starts happening, but then as Christians, we wrap everything. I don't care what it is. We wrap it in religiosity. We wrap it in some kind of, you know, righteous biblical terminology. Because if we do that, then we don't see what it actually is. Like, I'm holding a big book here. And we wrap it up, right? Do you remember way back in the day when you had textbooks and you had book covers on those textbooks? Do you remember? Okay, you would find some cool looking book cover for your textbook. Well, no matter how cool it looked, no matter how much you liked the book cover, when you opened it up, it was still just the plain old textbook for school, which wasn't near as exciting, and it was pretty boring. Well, I think in Christianity, we take everything and we wrap it up using scripture language, using religiosity, using spirituality. We make it sound very spiritual, very godly, very pure, very holy. But when you open it up, all you see is nothing more than marketing 101, man's ingenuity, man's creativity, and then this movement is built off the ingenuity of man, has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, has nothing to do with the power of God. But we convince ourselves that no. What we're doing is spiritual. This is God moving. I think that this is so common within Christianity. It's almost like a language we just talk without that language having any connection to what is actually real and what is actually happening, right? I mean, I've seen it before when I had to work with, quote unquote, not a youth director, but kind of worked with the teenagers. I would be always forced that, every once in a while I had to take the kids to some big event or some wherever. And it was absolutely so fraudulent, because all the youth group in the church, we're going to be going to, was it Red Oak, Iowa, or I can't remember, somewhere in Iowa for some kind of event. So we all get there. Well, there's all these youth groups and they're all there. So there's all these kids. And then somebody would say, man, look at this. This is awesome. This is God moving. I'm like, no, these are kids who in many cases had no choice, and their parents are like, you're going to go do whatever the youth group activity. They were all brought here on buses. They were brought here because of the church creating, like, either making it sound super fun to get the kids invested to go, the parents making them go. This is not the move of God. This is someone came up with a big activity, created a situation where you would be guaranteed a certain level of participation. They all show up, and then you say, God is moving. No, it was you created the entire situation, and you basically have a captive audience. That's not the move of God. That was just being creative and finding a clever way to get a bunch of teenagers to show up. But we will always frame it in that language. And it's taken a long time. But the longer I've been within Christianity, and the more I see that I think so much of what happens has nothing to do with God, nothing to do at all. It's just us coming up with these ideas and plans. So all right, here's the resurgence. He's going to be put in charge of basically of this blog. Here we go.
We're getting ready to become varsity, and I need you to come in and figure out how to build our distribution, because we're taking this national, we're taking this worldwide, was basically the idea. And he's like, I need you to take what you know how to do with these new social networks, and I need you to figure out how to build the distribution for us to get this message out to the world.
Build distribution. Creative director, marketing team. None of that is biblical. There's no biblical language for any of that. All of that demonstrates that Mars Hill, their success was based off man's ingenuity. A marketing team, a creative director, build distribution. Build distribution. All of that is the things that are used in corporations and business. So many, and many churches may not use that language, but they're using the same concepts, the same ideas. You gotta get the message out. You gotta package it. We need a video. We need marketing. We need advertising. We need this. We need that. We need this. Now, look, I got no problem utilizing all of those things, but let's call it what it is. Our marketing campaign was extremely successful. Our distribution, ideas worked great. Let's not say it's a move of God. Let's say that we placed ourselves in a advertising, and we gave ourselves an advertising advantage. We were able to find the customer, the people, and we were able to convince them to come to our church. Just call it what it is. You were creative, you were inventive, you had ingenuity, you capitalized on that, and you got a good portion of the market share, and now you're growing and you're bigger, and now you can take that and then you can capitalize that on even more, and you can move that to your advantage. Just use it in the most secular, fleshly terms possible, because that's what you're doing. That's how it works. Everyone wants to imagine, and I'm not saying this never happens, but everyone wants to imagine that, you know, especially as a pastor, this is the way you want to imagine. You really want to imagine this, that you're a pastor, and then your job is you focus on preaching God's word, teaching God's word. You preach, you teach, and you just pray, and then God's going to bring the people to you, right? That's the way we always want to describe that as the way ministry works, right? I just focus on preaching and teaching. I pray, and God will bring the people here. That's the way we always want to envision it, because that's spiritual. It has a feeling of purity, of innocence. But when you really get into it, it's marketing 101. It's advertising, distribution channels. It's a marketing team. It's a creative director. It's, you know, all the different terms used out there for the different people. And they are the ones that they have to create the cool looking ads or the flyer, and they have to figure out, okay, are we going to mail this? Or how are we going to do this? Are we going to get, we're going to advertise here. We're going to try this. We're going to do this. And they create all the ideas, and the success is based on how many people show up. And then the people show up. Then once they start showing up and everything starts growing, guess what? Forget the creative director. Forget the creative team now. Forget the marketing team. Now it's God did this. God did this. In some ways, being a part of a marketing team or a creative director for a church, in many cases, is a job where you're never going to get the credit, because you go out there and you create the great idea. You bring all the people in, but because we're Christianity, we're going to have to say, well, oh, God is moving, everyone. God is at work. And everybody would be like, amen. Look around. Look at how many people. God is at work. God is moving. I think sometimes it's nothing more than man's ingenuity. I'm becoming more and more convinced of that. But let's listen to a little bit more of this.
I was stoked about that.
Mike Anderson's work in building the resurgence is one of the final elements of the Mars Hill story that needs to be put in place. The resurgence was originally launched in 2006, the same year that they opened their first video venue multi-site campus in Shoreline, and about a year before the governance transition that concentrated authority in a small executive team. What they saw in Mike was a young, true believer with an entrepreneurial gift, the kind of leader that Mars Hill seemed to find regularly. He was fully committed to the vision of the church and willing to bleed for it, which he did. Jesse and the media team may have had Shredder's Lair with skateboard ramps and $100,000 cameras. Mike Anderson did not.
The budget policy for me was eat what you kill. And so I had to bring in the money. So what I was doing is I was calling up publishers, I was calling up conferences, I was sleeping on the floor of different people's hotel rooms so that I could travel the country and go get make resurgence a thing.
Now here you have someone in the church. Now they're a true believer. They're going to go out there and do the work. They're going to go out there and do the work. And they're going to go from conference, they're calling, going to conferences, 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 conferences. So many pastors go from conference to conference to conference so they can, quote unquote, network. They can meet other people. And I hate to feel this. I hate to say this, but sometimes I feel that whenever you talk to a pastor, it's almost like they're looking at how can I, and I know I should not say this, but it always feels like that the networking is how can you help me become more successful? Like whenever pastors start asking you about your church, I'll give you an example. I don't know how many years ago I get a phone call. I'll get an email from a new pastor in Abilene, Texas. And he's trying to meet all the pastors in town and get to know them. All right, that sounds good. Okay, great. So he invites me to dinner, starts asking all these questions about my church and about the people in it. You're just asking all these questions. I'm somewhat naive, and I'm like, okay, great. So I give him all the information. Well, I can't remember exactly how long after that meeting. He never called me again, never talked to me again. But it wasn't long after that meeting that I started losing people in my church to that church. He started recruiting people from my church to his church, and then he started growing his church from people who were attending my church. And what he was trying to do, he was basically trying to have somewhat of a takeover, because he was Reformed. The church he was a part of wasn't really Reformed. So he was trying to find people who were somewhat Reformed so that he could put them in key positions of leadership so they could basically transform and take over the church and try to make it Reformed. But he was trying to find, I guess, people from Reformed churches in order to help build his thing. And it's like, to this day, now I'm not saying that that's exactly what he did, but I'm saying it was very, it felt like a coincidence that we meet, he gets all this information, never talks to me again, never emails me again, never calls me again, never asks me to lunch, never speaks to me again. But then I start losing my people. Now, fine, if my people want to leave, I got no problem, because I've always said the last thing you want to do as a pastor is do everything you can to manipulate someone to stay. If they want to go, you let them go as fast as they want to go. You carry their Bible to their car and say goodbye, because if they stick around and they don't want to be any there, they will become a poison and a cancer that will ultimately eat away and destroy your church. But I just think sometimes the networking is pastors looking for a way to benefit themselves. It's how can I utilize this situation? And if you don't have anything to offer them, in many cases, they won't give you the time of day. I've told this story as well. I used to go to a kind of a little conference in Kansas City. Now, I love the conference because it was free. That was awesome. And they didn't go, you know, for the big, big name pastors, but, you know, somewhat well-known pastors, I guess, in that kind of group. And the preaching was always very good. But I was young, and I was looking, you know, wanting to get into ministry. So I was always hoping that, you know, I could talk to some of these pastors, and I could, you know, maybe, you know, learn something and maybe find out how to get in, because I still didn't really understand how you get into ministry, because no one ever really, basically the way I was taught is, oh, you want to be in ministry? Okay, you go to our Bible Institute in this Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, and you just go out there and start a church. And I'm like, well, go out and start a church with, like, wait, that's the way you do it? Like, why do we need to start another church? Like, how does this work? And I was never really given any clear direction. And it was pretty much like, okay, this is basically what you do. You quit your job, you go start a church somewhere in the middle of, you know, where there's not a lot of churches, and then you struggle to make it financially. And hopefully you and your family, it was just this really weird like concept and how it went about. But I can remember going to this conference, just trying my best to like talk to these pastors, and it was pretty much like, yeah, okay, whatever, kid, go away. It was like they didn't have the time of day for me, because they were all networking amongst themselves. They were all, you know, and it felt like, okay, so I'm the outsider. It's like no, it was no like desire to try to even help or bring anyone in. I've always had this just weird, I don't know what it is. I've never really, pastors either don't like me, or I've never been able to develop any kind of a relationship with pastors, because I just feel like that everything is about, you know, what can you do for me? How can you help me? What can you offer me? And then whenever pastors talk, it's always about, you know, well, we've got this many people, and we've got this many people, and we've got this many people. And then it's almost about bragging about numbers. It's just the whole thing just seems so crazy. But when you really get down to it, the success of churches seem more about marketing, creative directors, you know, having your team and your ingenuity and coming up with plans and ideas in order to, like, well, you know, we tried this, we'll try this, and we tried this. And it seems very little about, I don't know, preaching, teaching, prayer, and God. It seems like there's a million other issues that come into play with it. Now, again, I'm not saying all of those other things are wrong. Let me make it very clear, because people are going to misunderstand me. I'm not saying all of those other things are wrong. I guess what I'm trying to say is we're engaged in those things. And then whatever success, we have to spiritualize it to make it sound like that, oh, this is a power of God. The power of God is at work. God is moving. We always have to just so, it just seems like it's so fake that we just throw in all of the religious language because that's the character we are playing. Instead of just saying, hey, guys, great job. You did some good marketing. You did some good getting the word out there. Look, I know this. A lot of any success I have on this podcast, in many cases, is because of other people who listen, who think that what I'm doing is of somewhat value, and they share it with other people. There's nothing spiritual about that. That's people. Now, I am very appreciative of everything that works. I do everything in my power to get my podcast on every platform possible, hoping someone will discover it, right? That's not the power of God. That's like spending hours and hours going, okay, oh, there's a podcast app. Are we on there? How do we get on there? Oh, wait. Oh, Pandora's got podcast now. How do I get on Pandora? Wait. That is just hours and hours of working and working and working and working to do that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but just acknowledge it. And when you listen to what happened at Mars Hill, this is all just creativity, ingenuity, hard work, and networking at conferences to meet people so that you can get what you need to benefit the Resurgence website, the Resurgence blog. That's what it was about. Finding people who would give content to the Resurgence blog so the blog and the website would have lots of traffic, and then they could use that traffic to then get their message to those people. So let's go find people that will give us content. We'll use their content to bring the audience here, and then when they're here, then we can get, obviously, then us share our message, which will then ultimately benefit us. It's very just human, fleshly ingenuity. So just acknowledge what it is, but we will always find a way to try to create the idea that it's a power of God. All right, let's continue.
And so I would go do whatever it took to earn enough money to go to this event or that event. And I would bring a little camera with me and I'd try to record, you know, whoever I could get in front of. That's how the Resurgence became what it became, was me traveling around and doing whatever I could to get clips or to get access to blog posts, all that sort of thing. And then again, I built a volunteer team that grew like crazy, and we built a machine to turn that into blog posts and podcasts and all that sort of thing.
Mike built the Resurgence with volunteers that he trained from the church. Think about that. One salary. Built the largest Christian blog on the internet with interns. Here's how good that internship program is. If you figured out, and we're not going to talk about who they were, who those interns were in that group, most of them have incredible careers because of the stuff they learned there.
That reticence to name names is something we'll get into more in a later episode. But
again, just that's inventive. That's ingenuity. Hey, we're going to pay one salary. That guy will then go out because he's really good at this kind of thing. He will basically recruit a team, and this team will just be volunteers. And with that team, this one man's salary, we can build the largest Christian blog on the internet, and then therefore benefit us as well. And one of the ways we're going to do it is by utilizing content coming from other people. You talk about just a brilliant strategy. It's inventive. It's creative. It's genius. It's smart. But it demonstrates that there's nothing about the power of God involved in any of it. That's not the power of God. That's the power of man's ingenuity. And that's perfectly okay. But why do we always want to spiritualize it? It's the same thing. You can get 20 Christians sitting around shoving food in their face, right? Talking about the weather, talking about that I just bought a pickup truck with, you know, whatever. And we'll say, oh, God bless this fellowship. Okay, we're just sitting around. Like, we have to spiritualize any activity that we're doing. It doesn't matter. We're just eating and talking about the weather, but it's great fellowship. God bless this fellowship. And it just seems like sometimes it's like, why can't we just say what we're doing? We're sitting around and eating and talking. Is it wonderful? Great. Are you enjoying yourself? Great. But We've got to throw in a spiritual element to it to make it feel more spiritual. You can have 20 people who are not Christians sitting across the room at the table talking about whatever they're talking. I guess that's not fellowship, but what we're doing is something deep and spiritual and needful for Christian growth. And it's like, why do we always feel the need to it's almost like a self-righteousness that we've got to make it all sound more spiritual than it is. Now, the one thing I love about these interviews, they're not doing that. Just straight up just explaining, this is the way we did it. They're just being very honest that this was about a creative director. This is about getting not a junior varsity team, but getting the varsity team in there. Let's get these distribution channels open. Let's do this. And then one individual who was so committed that he was going around the country sleeping in hotel floors to meet people with a camera, interviewing whoever he could to build that website. That's what made it work. That's what made it work. Many churches, good morning, Twyla. Many churches are successful, and I was responding to someone in the live chat. One of the reasons some churches are so successful, has nothing to do with the power of God. It's with the dedication of people in the church being inventive, ingenuity to get the word out there and to bring people to the church. So many situations, the success of a church in many cases is the ingenuity of the pastor to some level, but in many cases it's the ingenuity and dedication of those who go to that church who are out there working to promote the message and to get people to come. And in this particular case, Mars Hill was built off the ingenuity of this person who was hired as a creative director who was able to build the largest Christian website off the back of basically volunteers.
But I've confirmed it. And as for this story, the launch of the resurgence, I remember those days. I remember first meeting Mike Anderson when I was writing for the Gospel Coalition and attending conferences and events around that time. Mike would be around wearing this huge black backpack because, unbeknownst to me, literally everything he was traveling with was packed inside. I remember someone asking around for a room for him one time that he could crash in, and I kind of thought it was a joke, but it turns out he wasn't. It was the scrappy way this website was put together. And the sweat that he poured into that work paid off over time. Eventually, the resurgence became the kind of place that Christian writers of all sorts wanted to publish their stuff, and it was a wildly diverse mix. Scholars like Timothy George, D.A. Carson, and Michael Horton, along with megachurch pastors like Perry Noble, Craig Groeschel, musicians like Jackie Hill Perry, all kinds of Acts 29 pastors, the aforementioned Tim Keller, and full disclosure, I published an article there as well.
So we were going out, and with the resurgence, we were inviting people to write, but we decided what they were going to write about. We were trying to shift the whole perspective on how all this stuff worked. And they were happy to do it because we had a vision and they didn't.
So brand implies value. So if you can take someone with a strong brand and you can stand next to them, it's called selling by association. So every time Mike could get, I don't know, Grudem or whoever to write a blog post, they thought they were winning because they were getting distribution. We were stacking the deck. It was like, look at all these all-stars. And we're bringing in people from different tribes because we weren't a part of any of them. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like we cared what the Baptists were doing or the whatevers were doing. We weren't part of a denomination. So it was like, great, let's just go get all the best people from all these other places and get them on the platform. And then the more that Mike did that, the traffic just started going faster and faster.
And again, just everything, all the language there, brand equals value. And then we were going out, getting these people to get content, to build a brand. Those people thought they were winning because they were getting distribution to their content. But ultimately, it was Mars Hill, the resurgence, and all of those individuals that ultimately were winning. In a sense, as they said, they were stacking the deck so that everyone would go to the website, which then ultimately benefited Mars Hill. This is all ingenuity, marketing, branding, creative directors. It's all of that. None of this had to do with the power of God. And that's what I think that's the question we have to constantly ask ourselves. When we immediately get ready to say, oh, God is moving, or that's the power of God. Look at what's happening in this church. God is moving. You may want to stop and ask yourself, wait, is that God or is this just the result of dedication, hard work, and man's ingenuity? If it is just the result of men's dedication and hard work and ingenuity, then just say that. Why do we have to spiritualize it? Trying to make something spiritual when in reality it's not, is just foolish and just dumb. Just say what it is. Man, good work, team. You got out there, you dedicated yourself, you marketed this church. We've now grown tremendously. Thank you. Great. You'll get a pay raise, whatever the case may be. But no. We've got to always try to cover it in the most and the robe of religiosity. And I don't know why we continue to do that. And let's finish this clip.
Success of the resurgence eventually allowed it to expand well beyond the blog. It was a publishing imprint and a training center featuring classes taught by well-respected conservative evangelical scholars. That coincided with several other factors to define what I'd call the third act in the life of the church. Act one was the church living on a shoestring, unsure how they'd pay rent, unsure of who they were or what they were ultimately going to be about. It was the formative period where Mars Hill found an identity and a sense of trajectory. Act two started maybe 2001 or 2002. During that period, the church became an established Seattle-based megachurch, and Driscoll became a leader of the young, restless reformed movement, seen as a protege of pastors like John Piper and C.J. Mahaney, even if that didn't reflect reality. The stage was getting set for the third act around this time, with the launch of the resurgence, the governance changes of 2007, and the launch of video venue multi-sites in 2006. These strategies, along with the growing awareness of Driscoll as a pastor celebrity, allowed for an ever-expanding sense of horizon for the church's future. It stretched the imagination for what Mars Hill and Driscoll could achieve. But it's also the final stage in the story, because pursuing those ambitions came with a willingness to jettison a lot of the past, commitments to place and to people, to values and identity. It would take a while for those shifts to fully come to the surface, for them to be fully realized in the minds of the leaders that they would affect. But, as everyone at Mars Hill would eventually find out, when you undermine your own foundations, you shouldn't be surprised when the thing you've built starts crumbling around you.
And there you have, that's really the intro for the episode. It's called Red Sky at Morning, Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. Again, it's a podcast I think everyone should subscribe to. I've stated it so many times, I don't listen to the podcast to go look at all the mistakes Mark Driscoll made. I know a lot of people use it for that. I use the podcast to look in the mirror and to look at ourselves and to see what we can learn. Whatever Mark Driscoll did right or did wrong, and there's plenty to discuss there, I'm not interested in that. That just seems like kicking someone after the fact. Okay, it all imploded, it all fell down, whatever. But what can we learn from it? And it just seems to me that this episode on my drive here to the church this morning just made me ask the question, is it really the power of God or is it man's ingenuity? When you go back and really look behind the scenes of the rise of Mars Hill, it had very little to do with the power of God, and it was all about marketing, branding, strategy, celebrity. That's what it was about, and that's how it became so big. Now, at the time, people would have argued with you and go, no, God is doing something. God is at work. Now, many of those people who said God was moving and God was at work will now claim that they never said those such things and that they realized from the very beginning that it was a problem. It's amazing how people always say that after the fact. But at the time, everywhere you went, people were defending Mark Driscoll and God was working and God was moving and the Holy Spirit was moving, because we have to Christianize everything. And as Twyla just said, 1,000% Christians have to Christianize everything. It's annoying. And I completely agree. It just seems like we have to do that. You know, you get four men together and they're going to go camping. It's like, this is going to be a great time of spiritual fellowship. And it's like, no, you're just going camping. Why do you have to Christianize it? Why do you have to try to claim it's something more than it is? Why? Just no. Why do we do that? And I think so much of what happens in the church, we Christianize basically nothing more than your basic marketing, branding, strategies that are utilized by corporations and companies and businesses. That's what we utilize. That's what we use. And if there's any success to them, then we come along, grab that robe of fraudulent righteousness, wrap it around it and go, see, look, God is moving. God is powerful. Look at what God is doing. God is blessing. No, it's the result of your marketing campaign. That's what it is. I'm not saying churches shouldn't use marketing campaigns. I'm not saying churches should not use good strategy to get the message out there. I think what happens is either some churches have those people. Okay, Will said, thank you for suggesting that podcast. I've listened to every episode except the latest bonus episode. So good. Well, I'm glad that you found it beneficial. But I found the podcast very just convicting and at times heartbreaking. I've gotten emotional in multiple episodes, basically tears running down my face because it was so tragic the way it all just imploded. But it just demonstrates to me what I'm talking about this morning, that so much of it was just personality. And I think the success of so many churches is they just, I'm going to say fortunate, because I don't like the word lucky, they're fortunate that they just get, it's really who walks through the front door of your church. You're going to get those people who walk through the front door of your church who are committed to what your church is trying to do. They're committed to it. And so they go to work. They go to work. Now, in Mars Hill's case, they hired people. They hired people. So in some cases, your church has, this is really weird the way it works. The church, you have to reach a certain level of growth, right? Because you've got to reach a certain level of growth so that you have the finances. Once you get the finances, then you can go out there and hire the people that then can then take the church to the next level. You see that with Mars Hill. There had to be a certain level of growth. Once you get to that level of growth, then Mark Driscoll was just hiring everyone. He hired the best video media team that money could buy. He was hiring people for this and this. Once you hire that team, then the pastor can just kind of like wash his hands of all of that work, and then he can focus on preaching and doing whatever the pastors do. But you've got to have those people. And once you get those people, then there's a great chance, I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but there's a great chance that you can grow the church and maybe not a mega church, but you can definitely grow it. But you've got to have that marketing team, that communications team. You need that communications director. I mean, I can't even tell you how many churches hire people who basically function as a communications director or as a marketing team. And they're the ones coming up with, we're going to produce this flyer. We're going to send it out. They're doing this. They're coming up with advertisements. They're graphic designers. They can come up with good graphics, and they can do that. And then you can build it. But all I'm saying is, you can say that that's all wonderful, but this just don't claim that it's God moving. And I think what's so sad is that people sitting in the pew, they see numbers. They see growth and they immediately say, God is moving, but it may not have anything to do with God. Zero, zilch. God might not even be involved in that process as far as the growth is occurring. It's the result of your team that your church has hired that's working for you. Or if you're able to get people basically will serve as interns, you get them and they're doing it all. It'd be wonderful to have all of that. It'd be wonderful. Man, I don't even know what I could be able to do if I had a team like that. I don't even know if I had a team like that. I do everything, okay? I have to do the podcast, upload the podcast, do everything. I do everything. So I don't know what I could even accomplish if I had a team of people. But that's what's required for the church to really be successful. You have to have that team. I just think that the people sitting in the pew need to get better at being able to distinguish a move of God versus a move of man's ingenuity. Because if you can't see the difference, you're convinced God is doing something when God may not even be at work in your midst, but you are convinced that he is. That is problematic. And I think what you look for first and foremost, especially at a move in a church, is you have to look at the doctrine and the theology, because that is objective. You can objectively test the doctrine, the theology, and the preaching. That is objectively tested. And if you've been listening, if you go back and listen to the episode Demon Hunters or Demon Hunting from the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill, and you can hear some of the absolute insane things going on in Mars Hill. Some of the crazy, you had a lot of charismatic ideas thrown at, just some insane stuff going on in Mars Hill. That should have been a sign. Something's not right here. something's not right. But if you believe that the numbers and everything shows that God is moving, well then, and if you even listen to some older statements by Mark Driscoll, he would put forth how many people they were baptizing, how many people were showing up, how many services they were having. That was proof that God was moving. That was proof that God was moving. No, that wasn't proof that God was moving. That was proof that you had hired a very, 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 very good team. Some of the best people, those people who worked and built Mars Hill, deserves all kinds of credit because they were inventive, they had ingenuity, they were creative, and they built one of the most famous mega churches that's going to be talked about 20 years from now of what happened at Mars Hill. It's going to always be a part of church history. And I just think that it's sad that Christians can't seem to distinguish between man's ingenuity and the move of God. And that, to me, is sad. And it's depressing is what it is. Because people, I mean, and maybe it's somewhat selfish. But the thing is if people, even I bet you there's people even in my church who can have the same mentality because we haven't seen growth in a very, 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 very long time, and that we're very, very, very small, the impression can be, well, God's not doing anything there. God's not doing anything there. God's not moving there. God's not moving. Because if God was moving, that would always mean there would be numbers and numbers and numbers and numbers. Now, we know theologically that's not true because, well, Jesus, was God moving when Jesus was ministering on earth? Because he lost more people than he gained. People walked away and did not follow him, and it was left with a little small group of people, all right? So that doesn't, God moving doesn't always necessarily equate to numbers. I think we all know that theologically. But if we don't see the numbers and we don't see the growth, we immediately draw the conclusion God is not moving. And even pastors can get discouraged and go, what am I even doing? And because the way it feels like, I know I'm successful if my church is growing and growing and growing. But that could be you're growing because of ingenuity, marketing, creative director, and have nothing to do with God. So that's not a good indicator as well. I just think when we know that it's the result of man's ingenuity, let's just say what it is. And when it is the move of God, then you've got to have a clear way of being able to define that it is. So your church may be growing. Your church may be big, and it may have nothing to do with God. It could be man's ingenuity. Your church could be small. Does not mean that has anything to do with God's moving in any way, shape, or form. It could be because of a lack of ingenuity and creativity and people being inventive and people doing the work that are doing in other churches. It could just be a failure of your church's ability to market and get the message out there. So neither one is proof that God is moving. I just think we have to be honest with what we're doing and not doing and not spiritualize it and Christianize it when in reality, all it is marketing 101. And when I heard that podcast this morning, I was like, all of the language, branding, strategy, creative director, marketing team. I'm like, oh, and just the whole strategy they did with the Resurgence website, that was all the work of men. And that is what I wanted to at least throw out there at the beginning of this morning. I know that took a lot longer than I wanted, but I think it's an important conversation to have. I apologize for the beginning. Yes, I will be doing more live streaming today, Twyla. I just got here, so I don't know how long, but I'll be here for the next couple of hours. But I apologize for the beginning. I almost lost my voice, so hopefully I didn't mess up the beginning too much. I always hate when because the intro is so important to a podcast. So when I mess up the intro or something goes wrong, then the rest of the podcast, all I'm thinking is I messed up the intro. I need to stop this. I need to delete this, and I need to start over. But I am... And on the other hand, I am so grateful that I can't stop and start over, because if I did, well, then I go through that whole crazy compulsive disorder where I stop, delete, stop, delete, stop, delete, stop, delete, stop, delete. And 3 hours later, I've only got one 45-minute podcast and I've almost driven myself insane. So sometimes I'm just glad the imperfections stay there, no matter how unprofessional. But in this case, I hope the poor quality of the intro will be overlooked, because I think this is a very, 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 very important topic. And I think there's so much confusion about it within Christianity. And I think it's something that we have to consider. All right, I'm going to stop here, and we'll be back. Don't know what we have on the schedule today. There's always a lot to talk about, but we will see. So we'll do that really quick, and I'm going to make sure that there's no more questions or comments. Okay. All right. Oh, wow, a lot of people listening this morning. Okay. There we go. So it's always good. Thanks for everyone for listening. You never know when I go live. I never know who's listening or who's not listening until y'all post comments. And then what's always funny is like yesterday I left and I'm like, man, I don't know how well that went. And then I get home and I'll look at the numbers. I'm like, wait, we had that many people listening? It's so easy to forget that people are actually listening when you're sitting in an empty sanctuary. So thank you for your comments. Hopefully that was beneficial. Hopefully everyone does not miss. If you look at the comments on YouTube this morning, oh boy, craziness on YouTube this morning. Diane, I think we've all been guilty. We've all been guilty of doing that. I'll just end with this. I was going to end, but I'll just end with this because I'm guilty of it too. Because I found myself being utilized this way when I first became a Christian, First Baptist Church, Tuscola. I mean, even the night I became a Christian, they put me behind the pulpit. And it did not take long that the pastor there realized, oh, you got this really messed up, twisted, psycho story. This can be utilized. And next thing you know, I'm in the car with the pastor going from town to town to town all over West Texas, being put behind the pulpit to tell my testimony. And because it got a lot of people to cry, and therefore it worked really well for the altar call. And, you know, and anytime a lot of people came forward, I was being told, God is moving. God is utilizing you. God is speaking through you. This is powerful. You know, and so it felt really good. It felt really good until I started realizing that they started telling me when to tell that part of the story, when to cry, when to have a little break in my, and then you start realizing, no, this is nothing about God. This is about manipulation. This is about emotional manipulation. They wanted me to tell my little sad story about how bad it was growing up because they could utilize that to get an emotional response, to get people to walk the aisle, to come to the altar, and therefore we could say God was moving. And it took me a little while to realize God wasn't moving. I was utilizing my sad story in order to emotionally manipulate people. And I was being manipulated into doing that, thinking that was God. That wasn't God. That was manipulated. I'm not saying God could not utilize it. I'm not saying God, I don't know what God did for the people who came forward, but I just know that when you have to kind of start strategizing how you're going to do it and when you're going to do it, that's now ingenuity. That's being inventive, strategy, creative. That's how you put together a play or a podcast episode. But we Christianize it. We Christianize it. And once we Christianize it, well, I would just like, you know, just. And there's so much of that in the church. And someone's got to call it out for what it is. And the Mars Hill podcast, even though that wasn't the rise and fall of Mars Hill, even though that wasn't their point in the episode I listened to today, you can't help but miss it. I mean, it's impossible to miss it. Because they're using the very language that's right there in Marketing 101. And you're like, they're acknowledging it was strategy. It was ingenuity. It was being inventive. It was having a creative director. It was having a marketing team. And therefore, their church grew. Churches who don't have all of those things have a tendency not to grow. I wonder why that works that way. I wonder why it works that way. Because like it or not, the way churches grow, in many cases, is more based off marketing than it is prayer, fasting, and preaching. That's discouraging, but there's a lot of truth to it. All right, I'll stop right there. I'll be back on the air here shortly. God bless.